En een Mireille. Op de baat in het Miltowin.
كانت حاجة تانية حاجة خالص حصلت. ميرسي خالص ميرسي خالص. ثانك يو ميرسي. صلي لنا بايبا. ميرسي.
يلا يا ميك. ثانك يو فور كومينج. الموضوع ما في الصوت برضو هات من الأول يا مايكل يا حبيبي علي على قد ما تقدر.
Dear Lord, do glorify your name so that all the peoples proclaim. May you always open your heart. May your spirit make us wise. May you always open your eyes and Your spirit make us wise as you listen to your people's sigh. Give us, dear Lord, from your deep faith. Let us see that you're here to save. Walk with us through the wave that strike. Give us assurance as we fight. Walk with us through the wave that strike. Give us assurance. Amazing is your love so deep. Dear Lord, oh glorify your name so that all the peoples proclaim. May you always open your eyes and may Your spirit make us wise, may you. Your eyes and may your spirit make us wise as you listen to your people's sigh. Let's leave the pot and quit all blocks. Let's spread the Lord and preach his blood. He came to win, he took us in. He came to win, he took us in. He rose from death to eternal life. Dear Lord, oh glory. So that all the peoples proclaim. May you always open your eyes and may Make us wise, may you always open your eyes and may As you listen to your people's sigh, we have no one, we have no one. We turn our eyes to the only one. Our Lord divine, our Lord look down. Our Lord divine, our Lord look down. for you, dear Lord, our only one, dear Lord, to glorify your name, so that all the peoples proclaim, may you always open your eyes and make us wise. May you always open your eyes and may.
الناس الطيبين كانت فين؟ فكر. فضلنا نأخذهم وضلنا خلاص. هل يهلك الطيبون؟
In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. I will give you just a mini lecture in 20 minutes about a common question that many of you may think of, and then we will have another 20 minutes for questions and answers if you like. There is a common question which is, would the good people perish? Or somebody may ask it in a different way. What if someone has not heard about Christ these days and lived as a good person? Does this person deserve to perish? This is a common question, I think. You may find some of your friends are good ones, but they are not Christian. And you feel unhappy with the idea of these people will end in hell just because they do not love or they do not know Christ. And you may consider it's not fair for them to end this ending just because they do not know Christ. I'm just want to put the presentation, Malish. Somebody may ask it in a different way, like saying there are many good people in many nations and they do good, they do not believe in Christ. Isn't it unfair that they perish? So it's the same question in different forms. I want to give you some hints or some main points to answer such a problem. First of all, we have to remind ourselves with the idea or doctrine that God revealed His will. He said so, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. So this is, you know, the first idea we should always consider. In His will, in His desire, God never think of condemnation of people. He always about saving people. So before accusing God that He is not fair, wait a minute. We know Him. His will is always positive for the salvation of everyone. Again, in Matthew chapter 18, it was said, even so, it's not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. So it's not the will of the Father for anyone, any human being, any little one to perish. Again, there is another verse given in the book of Acts. In every nation, whoever fears Him and works righteousness is accepted by Him. Does this mean that people may go to heaven just because they are good people? Let's consider the question. So, we know God's will, which is saving everyone, salvation of everyone. How about His wisdom? Again, you cannot be wise as equal as God. You cannot know everything about His ways to save others.
So it's not easy to answer such a question, because you cannot know exactly what God is doing in many other nations and in the hearts of the people. So consider His wisdom as given in Isaiah, "As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than our ways, and than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." So it comes a minute that you think that God is not fair. Wait a minute, you cannot judge Him. His wisdom is much higher. He knows much better than you. He sees picture from above, much different than you see things. Also, it was written in Romans, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. So even if you search or research His judgment, you may not reach all points and you cannot catch the whole wisdom of God. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has become His counselor? Also, it happened once that God told St. Peter, "What I'm doing, you do not understand now, but you will know after this." So there is always an area which is, you know, we cannot tell exactly what will happen, because His knowledge is much higher, His wisdom is much deeper than ours. Again, let's go back to the question of the good people. What do you mean exactly by saying these people are good? Let's analyze how good they are. If I'm telling you that the prodigal son, the son in the parable given by the Lord, the prodigal son, was he kind because he was taking his friends and paying money for whatever they like? He looks like a very kind person, because he was enjoying spending his money on his friends. But actually he was not such a good one, because he considered his father as dead. He abused his father. But from one side you can see this man as good, because he was spending money on his friends. How about the older brother? The older brother stayed in the house. He was serving his father. Was he kind? Was he good because just he was serving with the father or in the house? Actually, he was not good, because you could see with the end of the story that he spoke many bad words against his father, and he rejected his brother. He couldn't forgive him. How about Herod? You know, the King Herod. Was he a good person because he enjoyed listening to the sermons given by John the Baptist? It was written in the Bible that he enjoyed listening to many of the sermons given by John the Baptist. But you all know the end of the story. He killed John the Baptist. So when you say these people are good, wait a minute. They may not be good as you imagine. Most probably you had seen one side of their life, but most of the people are not as good as you imagine or as you see. Again, if you remember the story of Esau and Jacob, was Esau good because just Jacob deceived him, because he was the one ill-treated? Actually, Esau was not good, because he tried to kill his brother, and he spent the whole life away from God. He was such a tough man. So in just one occasion, you could see him as kind or poor or good one, but it's not the truth. Also, we may consider that an important idea, that God is always revealing His secrets, His knowledge to everyone on different levels, but not everyone will accept the revelation. Remember the story of the parable of the sower, the one who went farming and he was putting the seed everywhere, all types of land. Although this farmer knew that no land of these four will respond positively except one, but still he put the seeds everywhere. He threw the seeds on all lands. So this means that God is giving His wisdom, His knowledge, His revelation to every man, but not all people respond positively. Because it was written in Matthew 13, for the hearts of these people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing. Their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. So wait a minute, maybe the good people you are speaking about, they heard His voice or saw His hand, but kept themselves away from Him, because their heart may be such a strong or tough one. Again in Romans chapter 1, St. Paul the philosopher put it this way: for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who suppress, look to this, suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. So this means that God revealed Himself to all people in many ways, in the nature, in their conscience, in the history. But look, for since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So this means that those good people you consider worthy of getting eternal life, actually St. Paul saw them had no excuse, because God revealed His knowledge to them in different ways, but looking good, but they rejected the truth so many times in their life. Look to the story of Cornelius, or another story of Ruth. If we consider the idea of the good man could get the eternal life without Christ, this is your question, or the common question. Somebody says, I think if I'm in the place of God, I would say that the good people catch the kingdom of heaven just because they are good. They have good morals, so they deserve to enjoy eternal life. If this truth is real, which is not, why in the story of Cornelius, God sent His angel and told Cornelius, go and send for St. Peter. He will tell you the truth. And God was pushing Cornelius to believe in Christ and to be baptized. If Cornelius is a good man, why God was busy pushing him in the way of faith and baptism? If being good is enough for him to catch the kingdom of heaven, then there is no need for the angel to visit him or to call for St. Peter or to be baptized. He was good. But actually being good is not enough. Again, the same idea applies on the story of Ruth. Ruth was a very good woman. She loved her mother-in-law. But you know, she was not saved except after being a member in the people of God, and she became a grandmother of the Lord Himself. Again, you know, there is another issue here, which is the conscience position. You know, for those people who lived before Christ, they did not know Christ, definitely. In this case, God being fair, He will never ask them to believe in Christ who they had no chance to believe in. Again, here St. Paul said, for not the hearers of the law are just in the sight of God, but the doers of the law will be justified. For when Gentiles, the people who were not Jew, who do not have the law by nature, do the things in the law, these, although not having the law, are a law to themselves, who show the work of the law written in their heart, their conscience also bearing witness, and between themselves their thoughts accusing or else excusing them in the day when God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ. He stated that, you know, these people before Christ, they were following their conscience, and they made many of the commandments given in the law of the Jews, although they did not know the law. So they will be justified by their conscience. So if you have a question like this, how about if there is any people living anywhere in this world and they never had the chance knowing Christ? Okay, if so, I think according to what St. Paul said, they will be, you know, judged only by their conscience. But this does not apply to anyone who had the chance to know Christ or to know God by all means. Again, you know, look to this word. It was written in Romans chapter 11, a very good verse which gives us hope to all people around who we may consider being good. It was written, they also, if they do not continue in unbelief, just if they do not continue in unbelief, will be grafted in. Grafted in meaning that they will be considered as member in the church and having the way to eternal life. For God is able to graft them in again. So let us put it this way. If you have a real good friend, if he is really good and he wants to know the truth, with your prayers and love, one day he will know Christ, and Christ is the only way to heaven. But if he is showing himself as a good one, but mainly, most probably, he's not as good as you imagine. Maybe he will see the truth, but will ignore it, as many had done this way. So do not judge God, saying God is not fair because he made the way to heaven only through him. Actually, heaven is the kingdom of God. So if you do not know God, if you do not want to know God, you are not supposed to enjoy his kingdom. Think it this way. There is a palace and a rich man having this palace, and he invited everyone to come in the palace, but people rejected the invitation. They do not want him and they do not want his kingdom. Should he take them inside the palace? Actually, this is the unfairness. So these good people being busy with the word, with the morals, away from God and his palace, it's their problem. It's our problem, or our mission is to tell them the truth, to reveal them the secret, to focus with them on the eternal life. But you know, being good is not enough for anyone to take the kingdom of heaven. Because if you consider the idea of moral goodness related to man is enough for anyone to catch eternal life, then let me ask you the question, why then Christ came to our land and why he died on the cross, if being good morally is enough to get the kingdom of heaven? Thank you. I just wanted to tell you a few ideas about this common question. Now it's time for you to send me questions or to just stand up and speak it out. العاوز يسأل بكلام يسأل والعاوز يبعت سؤال يبعت ولا كلكم نمتوا. طب نقول ترتيلة تاني صغيرة واللي عاوز ايه يبعت او يسأل يقول please. نقول عالي الفوق.
Up, I lift my hands to you, you're my King, my Savior. These strengths I will declare, I won't need a thing to spare. And these strengths I will declare, I won't need a thing you spare. No, nothing will satisfy, nor fill my heart or my eye, but only what you supply. Unto your loving hands I cry. No, nothing will satisfy, nor fill my heart or my eye, but only what you supply. Unto your loving hands I cry. Through my life I always hear your voice from your altar clear. Eat my body, drink my blood, abide in me and me in you. Eat my body, drink my blood, abide in me. No, nothing will separate me from you, nor make me more free. Only on you I rely, not on any of the world. No, nothing will separate me from you, nor make me more free. Only on you I rely, not on of the world. Up to your loving embrace, with a repenting hope I gaze. With forgiveness I will witness, with your living church I praise. With forgiveness I will witness, with your living church I. No, I am not left alone here in the world on my own. In your promise I believe, the Almighty is my shield. No, I am not left alone here in the world on my own. In your promise I believe, the Almighty is my shield.
Is moderation a sin, since by being moderate we are considered to be lukewarm? No, moderation is not being a lukewarm. Moderation kind of being wise, because wisdom will help you to be moderate in the way of God, not eccentric, not very right, and I mean not the right side or the left side, but in the middle. And there was always a sentence given by the forefathers that the moderate way is the direct way to heaven. Being moderate means that you shouldn't exceed limits in your spiritual struggle, but it does not mean that you are lazy and you are not committed to your struggle with Christ. So this moderate, you know, it's very relative and should be guided also by your father of confession. Again, you know, moderate in what? Do you mean that being moderate in studying the Bible, like few minutes, or giving more time to the Bible? Being moderate in your clothes, what does this mean? Are you just like any girl away from the church, or you care for your appearance being a daughter of God? So this moderation is very much accepted if it is kind of being wise and you care for the gifts of God and the presence of God in your life. But it does not mean lukewarm. Being lukewarm, or the idea of al-futur, we call it al-futur, mean that you do not feel any good feelings towards God. When you pray, you do not pray from your heart. When you come to the church, you are not happy. You are easily bored. So this is the feeling of being of lukewarm. And in this, you know, you need repentance, you need struggle, you need to pray hard from your heart. You need to go to your father of confession. You may need to go praying many masses. So you are pushing yourself forward to feel God more. But this has nothing to do with moderation. Why did God make it so hard for us to inherit the kingdom of heaven? I don't think it's that hard. No. You know, yes, God said once that the way to the kingdom of heaven is tough, is narrow. The gate is narrow. But on another occasion, he said, come to me and you will be comfortable. You will be happy. So when you put this and that together, although his way is narrow or tough, but actually while walking the way, you are enjoying his friendship. You are enjoying his parenthood. You are feeling good. You have a mission in your life. So don't put one side of the truth and ignore the other side. The good Christians, they do not do sins like others, but they feel much happier than others. They may suffer in their life, but they are stronger in spirit. So it's not that hard the way to God. Actually, you good Christians will enjoy life here more than anyone. And having a good mission in life, you will feel happier. Why does evil exist? Simply, God did not create evil. God is good. God created goodness. But evil is the absence of goodness. And the one behind evil is not God. It's the work of devil and man together. But God, giving man his free will, allowed for this to happen. So it's not the will of God having evil in the world, but this is the will of man. Adam and Eve, you know, brought evil to the world because they did not follow God's commandment. But God wanted to give them happiness, joy forever. But they chose the wrong way. And we the same, we are doing the same nowadays. We know the right way and we know the wrong way. And in many times we choose to do wrong. So this means that we are the evildoers, not God. But God, being kind, and a kind father, he allowed for this. He gives that the free will to do whatever. And you know, whenever you come back to God saying, please help me to stop this evil, he will help you definitely, because he is good. And another good point, that evil always have an end, will have an end, because it was not created as natural, as part of man's life. No, evil came into the life of man because of his free will, And with the eternal life, there will no evil anymore. So evil is not, is just transitional, related to this world. Why does God not let us understand certain things about Him? Actually, God wished so much to give us His secrets, but we are not ready to listen. We do not care enough to know God deeper. Actually, we are busy with our life. But you know, it was written in the book of Revelation that Christ stand on before the door and knocking the door. If any of us listen to Him, He will come in and, you know, He will give you a good dinner and you will enjoy your relationship with God. But actually, most of us are not happy listening to Him. We do not care enough to know Him better, to make a friendship with Him. But in His part, actually, He's happy telling us all things. When you study the Bible, you will listen to the secrets of God. You will know Him in a deeper way. You will know much about Him. So, you know, it was not forbidden for men to know God. Actually, it's the reverse. God wants everyone to know Him more and more. And He came specifically to our land so we can see Him, we can touch Him, we can listen to Him, so we can know Him as the real God nearer to our heart. Any more questions? Yes, Habibi, go ahead. Would you please come to this side? I can't see you. Yes, Habib. لا ده غير ده. I think his question related to, it was written in the Bible, the meaning of nothing will happen to you except I filter it to see whether it's good for you or not good for you. If it is good for you, I will let it come to you, but if it is not for you, I will never allow for this. This is not related to sin. No, this means that whatever happening around you is controlled by the will of God, the love of God, will make all things around in your sake, in your salvation way. But if you by yourself choose to do sin, to go away from the right way, it's your free will. This is not related to His part. He is making all the circumstances work for your best, for your eternal life. So if you have any problems in your life, that's part of your salvation. If you get many trials, if you face some persecution, this is part of your way to heaven. But if you by your will want to do sin, this is not the will of God. This is not the plan of God. You understand? He will allow it because you have a free will, and He will try hardly with you to come back to the right way. Fat. Okay, Habibi, thank you. I think there is no exact time to say that this is the perfect time to choose the partner. But at least let me put it this way. One should be mature enough to think properly in order to choose the right partner. And being mature, this is, will not happen in, مثلاً, in high school. He is not mature enough. But, and this level of maturation related not only to the age, but also to the circumstances. Like if he is he's still studying and he is not working, he does not have any money, it's not the proper time to choose a partner. So better he is in the last year in the university or just newly graduated, and now he is having a good career and he can make it really concerning the expenses and that stuff. And also, you know, it's not good for somebody to choose a partner if he is not, you know, he did not used to relate or to have good relations with everybody. For a young man to choose a young woman, actually it's better for him to treat many girls and to have good relations and pure relations with many girls, then he can choose who is the best for him. Again, in choosing the partner, the first item we should focus on is his relationship to God. Because, you know, the sacrament of marriage, it's not only kind of mutual relationship and decision made by two. No, actually, it's the plan of God. So when I choose, anyone choose his partner, he should pray first. And he should think of this partner, will he take my hand in the way of God positively? Or he will, you know, stand an obstacle in my way to the eternal life. Because we are not living this life only. We are planning to go to heaven. Our direction is to catch the kingdom of heaven. So my partner should help me in the same way. This is the way we should the partner. Again, there is an important item here. The idea of matching, being matched to each other. Because if there is a big gap between the two related to the social standard, to the education background, to the age, to the culture, actually this gap will not make the marriage safe. But when it is a smaller gap, they can, you know, work together and live together. And, you know, I think there is some share from the father of confession and the family. They also should have some part in this decision. They will not make the decision for anyone, but better to ask them, to counsel them, to have their blessing. Because usually they can think freely, they can think better. Not because they think better, but you know, somebody may be under the pressure of the emotions, so he cannot see clearly the right choice. It's important to check with others like father of confession or his family whether I'm choosing the right one or not. Thank you. Why he allowed for sin as far as he wished everyone come with him to the kingdom of heaven? Simply because God loves man, and out of his love, when you love somebody, you should give him some free space to do whatever he likes. I cannot love anyone and tell him, you shouldn't think anything but mine. You should follow me He should choose for himself. So this kind of allowing people to sin, it's kind of loving people. Exactly what's happening in your families. Your father and mother love you, but you know, they may tell you what to do, but they will never prison you, put you in a prison and tell you, you cannot do anything but what I'm saying. This is not the right or the best relationship. they give you free space to do whatever you like. And when you do sin, you feel guilty and you make the U-turn and come back to the right way. So God wants us to choose the right way, not to be, pushed the right way. We should choose it by ourselves. One of the atheists who became or converted into Christianity, he was a philosopher. His name is C.S. Lewis. I would love if you can read some of his books, great books. He put it this way, that God do not want to create dolls that when you push the button will tell you, I love you, I love you. No, he wants to create human beings. When they say, I love you, it's out of their hearts, out of their free will. So when anyone go sinning, it's his free will. But when he comes back saying sorry and saying, I love you, God, it's more enjoyable for God and for the guy himself, because it came out of a free will. They were not pushed to love God without their free will. And this is the best life of human being, that they enjoy this kind of having a real free will. So although God do not love sin and wants everyone to be with him in heaven, but still he was tightened by the free will of man. He cannot do whatever he likes because of the free will of man. Had answer so el ten. Yes, ma'am. Can we evangelize, huh?
So,
no. No. In my experience, at least, I'll tell you some experience in Egypt. We are serving the poor in many, many areas in Egypt. And you know, the servants go to the villages, and when they just give them any money, the relationship between the servant and the served people is not any more spiritual. They never listen to any spiritual message. As far as they see money, they want money. So when the servant tried to push them to go to the church or to have confession and communion, they do not care. They need money. So it's the same idea what happened with Christ when he gave the bread to the 5,000 families on the mountain. Actually, when they ate out of his hand, the second day they went following him, not for his speech, not for the knowledge of God. And he stated this, now you are following me just to eat. So again, when you show money to anyone, actually it's not easy for him to focus on the spirit or the spiritual life. Better to show love, not money. Love is the easiest way to open the doors, to open the hearts of everyone. Love is not necessarily related to money, because people usually have this lust of loving money. The lust of money actually will block them, will close their eyes and ears. So, you know, when you go back to the early church in the book of Acts, you can see money had nothing to do with evangelism. It's the least part in evangelism, the last point, not the first one. Any more question? قولي حبيبي تفضل. Okay, We need to love everyone around, but we need to see clearly, with a clear vision, the differences, the great differences between our faith and others' faith. We believe in a Father God, in a loving God, in a God who came to save us, who died for us. In Islam, God is different. God is such a one who enjoys people worshipping Him. And God is the judge only. He does not care with millions of people. He cares only for those Muslims. And He may allow them to kill others as far as they do not follow the same way He made. So God in Islam is very much different than God in Christianity. Our real God, our true God, is Christ. He's the one who saved us. But their God, what they call Him, Allah, you know, is very much different. Maybe they are the same in some character, like this God is the Creator, God is the Pantocrator, God is the Almighty. But you know, in the depth of knowing God, it's very much different. So when you speak to any Muslim, you should understand the background or the idea. Concerning the Prophet, actually Christ, when He came to our land, He stated this is the end of it. There is no prophets coming anymore. And any prophets coming are the false ones. This was clear in the words of Christ. And you know, on the cross He said it was completed. There is no more commandments coming, because Christ gave us the highest level of morals. He told us, just love even your enemies. So anyone coming after Christ, what actually He will add? And if you study the morals in Islam, you will understand that it was a step backward. After Christ gave us the complete commandment, the perfect picture of God's law, you are not supposed even to be angry, you cannot hate anyone, you are just giving yourself to others with this ideal model of life. When you look to the morals in Islam, it's many, many steps backward. So it couldn't be the further step forward. It's not so. And even if you compare the two models, Christ and the other, far different. Christ was really perfect. But you know, many of them are better than the one they followed in their ethics, in their attitude, and they know this. So how can I follow somebody whom I feel myself better than him? This is not logic. But when we follow Christ, we always see that we still have lots to do. There is a long way to be just Christ-like. Had عنده سؤال تاني؟ Yes, حبيب. The last question, excuse me. التوبة. Repentance. Repentance starts usually with the discovery of God's love. When you feel God's love, you start repentance. Repentance as an idea is to change your way, to make the U-turn, to stop deviating from God's way. But usually it started when your heart is touched by how much God is loving you. So when you see Him as a good Father, you feel sorry for yourself. You feel ashamed. So you go back to Him saying, I'm sorry. So this is the start of repentance, prayer. I'm sorry, God. And the second thing, please help me not to do it again. I want to be your son. I don't want to go back to my way. So repentance is a dynamic relationship with God. It's not one act. It's not 1 minute. It's life story. We always repent. We always sinning and going back to Him. Because it's the story of love. We love Him. And when we do any wrong, we just go back. I'm sorry, please help me to change. The story of the prodigal son, you can see clearly this, the idea of repentance. He made whatever he wanted to do, but he felt sorry for himself. And when he went back, he found his father so welcoming, very happy to meet him. And he did not even ask for the details of what he had done before. He just took him in the house and gave him all the blessings. He was happy receiving him. He considered him, this man was dead, and now my son raised again. So this is the idea of repentance. It's completed, you know, in the church. According to the teaching of Christ Himself, you need to see somebody to tell you your sins are forgiven. So God made this sacrament of confession for this, that the stewards of Christ, وَكَلَاءِ الْمَسِيحِ, have the power to forgive those coming to the church, telling them that we are sorry, we need to be again sons and daughters of God. The confession comes as a last step in the story of repentance. But you know, we are repenting all day and all days, but we may go for confession every 2 months or more or less, and just to be guided by God's men in the way of our repentance. Thank you for your patience. Thank you, Nintu Sherto. Please pray for me and pray for our people in Egypt and Iraq and Syria. يعني عندهم مشاكل كتير. ممكن نصلي نقول ترتيلة وإحنا Father God. بس برضه ولو بيقطع كل شيء ولا هو في عيب يمكن تبعته من الأول تاني. تقدر تقفل بعد مرة واحدة هي تتقل مرتين. خليك مركز أشاور لك تقفل على طول.
Father God, I wonder how I managed to exist without the knowledge of your parenthood and your loving care. But now I am your child, I am adopted in your family, and I will never be alone, 'cause Father God, you will be there beside me. I will sing your praises, I will sing your praises, I will sing your praises forevermore. I will sing your praises, I will sing your praises, I will sing your praises forevermore.
Thank you, Father God, for all the blessings you are giving us. Thank you for considering us your sons and daughters. Thank you for the church, for the Bible, for the Spirit. Thank you for your body and blood. Thank you for the angels guarding us. Thank you for being patient with our sins, with our deviations. Thank you for the promise of eternal life. Thank you for being wise to guard our life and guide it to the kingdom of heaven. Please accept our repentance. Please forgive our sins. Please, God, help us to change, to understand your will, to follow your commandments, your steps, to love you from our heart, our mind, all our energy, and to love people around with your heart, with your mind. Help us to see clearly what to do according to your will, and to stop thinking of ourselves, stop being self-centered. Give us humility, give us purity in heart, give us love to all people around. With the intercession of Saint Mary and all the saints, accept our prayer when we pray, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come on earth as in heaven. Give us this day.
امضوا بسلام سلام الرب يكون معكم تعيش وتسهر